folks water down. This has been a very exciting morning already. And I was going to skip the intro because there's so much, and then I realized 18 of you weren't here last week at least, and we missed you. There was big gaps. So last week, we were in part of this series in Genesis, and we had the creation of Adam and Eve, man and woman. And so this week, and I picked this, I volunteered for this, here we are in the Garden of Eden and the fall. Reading from Genesis 3, 1 to 15 in the New International Version. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from the tree of the garden, from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die." "You will certainly not die," the serpent said to the woman. "For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate it." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." May the Lord bless to us this reading and understanding and preaching of his word. Amen.
All right, there we go. Well, you know, you see a picture like that one, and you have to ask yourself if what I'm sure you've heard along the way is any of this really true. I mean, you've got to be kidding, really. The story that Diane read here, the rest of what's in Genesis chapter 3, this stuff about Adam and Eve eating an apple. I mean that's just ancient nonsense. It's old-fashioned stuff. Can you really believe that? They took one bite of an apple, and God threw a big fit. I mean, that's nothing. You think of the murder and the rape and the abuse that's going on right now in our world and other parts of the world. You think of the theft and the fraud that's going on in our world, in our country, and a bite of an apple? Give me a break. God comes undone over that? I mean, it must be foolishness. I mean, oh, okay, let me step back for a minute. I don't know if it was an apple, all right? There's no apple in the story. I mean, it could have been a peach. Might have been a pear. Could have been a plum. Might have been an apricot. Who knows? I mean, don't ever get hung up on that part of the story, because that really misses, what fruit was it? That misses the very point of the story. God's given us a story. here in Genesis 3 of what lies behind all of the murder and the rape and the abuse and the theft and the fraud and the violence in our world. We've got a big picture story in Genesis 3 that gets right to the very center and the heart of the problem in our world and in our lives. And that problem, it's all about trust. It's really about trust. The big lie of the serpent to Adam and Eve was that they could be like God. Here, thank you for those stories. Shannon and Hillary. I could picture it. I could see it. John Signer said that, you know, it had been a long time since he'd been back there, and it was still as pristine as ever, but thinking of the sun by day and the moon by night, here was God. He'd given this beautiful, bountiful world, and he created it, and he asked only of Adam and Eve was that they would trust him to provide for them, to give them life to the full. And the lie was that you couldn't trust God to do that for you. You have to look after yourself. If you're going to have a full life, if you're going to get everything that you need and that you deserve, you have to take somehow control of it. You have to grab it. You have to make it happen. And what this is really a story about trust that got transferred. The tree was a trust tree. And there was an exchange of trust that took place that had deadly consequence. The harmony of life that they had known was now in a state of discord. And where there had been beauty and order, there was now discord. There was a disrupted creation. All that God had asked of them was simple. God had asked of them not to put themselves in His place. That was the only thing. Don't put yourselves in my place. Let God be God for you. And they bought the lie of the serpent, and they thought there was something better than letting God be God for them. Now, I'm not a nutritionist, but I get this. I get that spinach is good for you, all right? Nutritionally speaking, it's good for you. But I'm thinking of that story from Popeye the Sailor Man. You know, spinach is the stuff that gives you the bicep and all of that. You know, choosing the way of putting your trust in your own muscle of life, choosing to put your trust in that rather than the power of God, is to buy the lie. It's to go the way of the lie. And it's that lie that is the story behind all of the rupture and the pain and the heartache of the world that we live in, and indeed in our own lives. From all of the tensions and terrors of the world that we live in, to every one of the anxieties, the apprehensions that we have in our own lives, what it really comes down to, it comes down to reaching out and putting our trust in ourselves and not in God. Now, I thank God that that's not the end of the story. I mean, if it was, we'd be in the deepest of weeds, and there really would be no hope. But God is so incredible in the grace and the love that He has for us that He wouldn't leave us snared in the bondage of that lie, the bondage of that way of life. And I want to take you to a second tree, you know, where we all along with everyone else in the world that's gone before us, ourselves, where we've put ourselves where God was meant to be in our lives, in that place of authority, of taking charge, of having control. Jesus is the one who humbled Himself. When you think of the cross, and what happened there is that Jesus put Himself where I deserved, you deserved, where every one of us deserved to be. And when He did that, He destroyed the power of the lie over our lives. He crushed, Diane Reddy, He crushed the head of the master of lies, the evil one. He was tempted Himself to believe the lie. Think of the temptations that He experienced in the wilderness, but He resisted the lie. He was tempted even on the cross to let it go, to find a different way, but He went the way of the tree of death, of the cross, for our sake and in our place. And He put His trust in the Father, His Father, God the Father, even when the worst of life, all of the powers of sin and death and evil, they came against him as no one ever before or since. And it's through his trust, it's through the obedience of Christ, it's through Jesus going the way of the tree of thorns that we're set free to live our lives in trust and obedience, the way of God, to begin to experience what it means to be a people, to be a community fully alive in Jesus Christ. I'm going to invite the praise team to come forward. You were thinking I was going to go to 10:30, weren't you? Well, I'm not. But, you know, you've got to say it, that Genesis 3 is a bad news story. But it's not a story that God would allow to be the final word for you or for me. The good news, God's, you know, it says, is that your final question? This is the final word. This is God's final word. It's grace. It's an outpouring of God's grace that's available to you this morning. And God's grace in Christ comes free, but it does come with a call upon our lives. This word of God that breaks the power of the lie over us. It comes with a call, and it's the call of God to turn away from the lie of believing there's something better to be experienced apart from God's plan for our lives in Jesus. The call that we have is the call to come to God and to follow Jesus, to acknowledge him and go in his way as him as Lord over all, over everything. And I want to invite you to stand now with the praise team, because we're going to sing about this, about we will follow, I will follow, we'll follow in the way of Christ. Let's stand together.
In you there's joy, unending joy.